Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Good evening, welcome to Sports Day. Our number is 922-11882. Some injury news. Joel Hamling at Frio out for the early part of the season. I'll ask Hayes about that. In fact, we'll be able to ask Michael Walters. He hopefully can let us know a little bit further on that, on the back of him being selected in the All-Stars to take on Victoria. In fact, there were nine West Australians. They've claimed Jason Johannesson as an international player. He's listed on the team list under the international with Zach Tui, who's an Irishman, of course, but I'm sure Jason Johannesson would claim that he's a West Australian, which makes it nine WA boys as part of that State of Origin team. Paul Hazeby, good evening to you.
Good evening, Carl. Yes, I like the list of names, although there were a few big names left out. We know Nat Nui wasn't considered. Tim Kelly not considered. Where is Andrew Gaff? Where's Luke Shuey? Luke Parker, another one that probably should be a part of it. But looking at the, I think the starting 18s for each side, very, very strong. But disappointing news today from the Fremantle Dockers. Surgery on a dislocated ankle to Joel Hamling. Confident he will play a significant amount of games. Now, Carl, what does significant amount of games mean to you? This comes from the press release from the Fremantle
Dockers. He'll play a significant amount of games?
Yes.
Well, for me, I've read it as he'll be out for the early part of the season. Now, what that means is probably, where are we at? We're in February, March. I'd suggest that he's probably not going to be back until probably round six. So therefore, he's going to play maybe 15, 16 games, which to me would be still a significant amount of the season. Now, given that it's an ankle injury though, and if it doesn't respond, mate, he is going to be a big loss, regardless of whether he's out for one or two rounds or six rounds. He's going to be a big loss given the form that he was in last year. And he probably would have been in this team if, he had been available, because he was, I felt anyway, one of the benchmark players when it comes to his defensive capabilities in the competition.
No doubt about that. With some of the other players out, like Mundy and also Jesse Hogan, it's going to make it hard. Alex Pearce and Nathan Wilson, we'll find out a bit more with Michael Walters in a moment. But an operating loss of the Fremantle Dockers, $1.6 million. Key reasons: a decrease in net membership revenue, of course, with a tough year last year, restructure of club personnel, so paying out Ross Lyon, an increased investment in the club's AFL women's operations, and also increased funding to grow grassroots community and waffle footy. So $1.6 million, not an ideal result, but they do get a chance to start again.
They do. Melbourne also posted a $1.5 million loss, but they're a little bit more bold than what Fremantle were in their announcement. It's the first time in six seasons that Melbourne have posted a loss, Hayes. But what about their very ambitious four-year plan, flagged by 2023? Now, I just think that's setting your club up for failure. It's certainly putting pressure on the likes of Simon Goodwin, their coach, who has only just recently taken over the reins, and as to whether he's under some pressure on the way that Melbourne went last year, they certainly fell off the face of the earth. But look, I predicted that, Hayes, given that they had so many players injured, and it's a little bit like Frio this year. I mean, they can't afford to lose any more players than what they've lost already. James Pattinson has succumbed to injury as well. He's out with back soreness. So Australia A lost Will Pekowski yesterday. They lose James Pattinson today. Mark Steckety comes in to replace him, and Harry Conway, a New South Wales fast bowler, comes in to the squad. But 922-11882, teams, any surprises, matchups that you'd like to see? There's some mouth-watering clashes when you have a look at the State of Origin and the All-Stars. But the AFL today, Hayes, also posted a surplus of $27.9 million. Now, that was up from $25.9 in 2018. It was ahead of budget. And the AFL, I want to know from our audience what they should be spending the money on. Because let's face it, it's a not-for-profit organisation, so the money that they generate goes back into servicing the game. $793.9 million due to broadcasting rights agreements and commercial revenue, Hayes. It was up by $15.3 million in 2019. They invested it in this way. $314.7 million went to the AFL clubs, $58.8 million to community footy. That is budgeted to increase by $6 million in 2020. $37.7 million to the AFL Players Association to pay for things like old blokes' injuries, the shortfall there. $16.4 million into the AFLW competition. Now, that's budgeted to increase by $6 million in 2020. And $17.9 million into infrastructure, comprising of the elite and community facilities and contributions to stadia redevelopment. Now, look, for me, I'd like to see them invest in grassroots more. Auskick, for example, families have to fork out a fair bit of money to get involved in Auskick. By the time you buy the boots and all the other bits and pieces and the tyranny of distance that some people have to travel, I would like to see them invest a little bit more in that area. But 922-11882, where you think the AFL should be spending more money.
So it's a good number, though, isn't it, Carl? $27.9 million as surplus. And you've been critical about the Giants and also the Gold Coast expansion. Are you willing to take back some of your critical thinking, given that it's not just about how much the Giants make or how much the Gold Coast Suns make? It's about the AFL competition as a whole, and because of them, there's more games, more revenue is generated in key markets like New South Wales, particularly with the greater Western Sydney market there, that at the end of the day, you're going to get a number like this, which has to be a good thing, and you've got to look at it as an overall package.
Yeah, I can look at it as the overall package, but how many clubs does the AFL have to prop up? I mean, let's face it, the Freo Dockers have just made a $1.5 million loss. Melbourne Football Club have made another $1.5 million loss. They already basically forced the Western Bulldogs to go and play games, and probably Melbourne to a lesser degree, play football in markets outside of Victoria to keep the boat afloat. They're already going to continue to pump money into Greater Western Sydney Giants. They're going to continue to pump money into the Gold Coast Suns. So it has to stop eventually, Hayes. You can't have a whole heap of clubs running around in the AFL that aren't posting a profit. They need to be making money. They need to be able to stand on their own two feet. So that's where I get concerned as to how far the gravy train goes and how far they're prepared to tip the money in. Now, do they meet the shortfall of the $1.5 million at the Fremantle Football Club? Do they make up for that particular loss this year? Or is that something that's only short term and things will turn around in 2020, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's part of a cycle where your club goes through that, particularly some of the smaller clubs. I think West Coast is pretty well cemented with their financial position, and being in the top four certainly helps with that. So they'll improve that, the Fremantle Dockers. If it was me, I'd keep developing the AFLW. You mentioned there's another $6 million going there next year. I would probably go a bit more again to try and get these girls paid more and enable them to train for longer. If you train for longer, it's going to be a better standard. They've already put a lot of money towards this. For mine, go again. Go harder. Get it towards a full-time competition as quickly as possible. Outside of that, Carl, I probably wouldn't do too much for this period, because I think going forward, it's probably in their best interest to put a bit of money in the bank. There's a few winds of change afoot right now with the broadcast deal coming up in the next 3 years. There's no certainty that that's going to be a really big number like we've seen in the past. And already I think the AFL have shown a few signs of worry, where they've been trying to tell all of the AFL clubs this year that they need to do more from a media point of view on game day, before the game, after the game, halftime, all that type of stuff, because they're worried about the broadcasters long term.
How do you feel? If you are an AFL lover, are you worried about the state of the game? Are you happy? Certainly from the financial figures that were posted by the AFL today, should be relatively happy, but would you like to see them spend some money in a area? 922-11882. There's a traffic update just for those that are on the roads, Hayes. A crash near the entrance of the Dog Swap Shopping Centre in Yokine. The entrance is blocked, and so is parts of Flinders Street, so please, if you can, avoid that area.
Let's just imagine that this All-Star game attracts a big TV audience. We're talking 2.5, maybe 3 million. Let's just give those figures out there right now. If that's the case, and I'm the broadcaster, you're coming back next year or next time you go to the table to say, well, this is very successful for us. We want it. Make it happen, the AFL. And I think the more people that watch this game coming up, the more that attend, I reckon it will have ramifications down the track for State of Origin footy to return. So make sure you watch.
Yeah, but you know what? See, the thing that, for me, Hayes, it's on a Friday night, right? Mm. Now, I just feel that this was something that was special on a Tuesday. And you know why it was special on a Tuesday? Because you could get the corporate groups behind it. Businesses were at work. It was played in the afternoon. It wasn't played in the evening. So therefore, you could basically attract a corporate crowd. Now, is that something that still appeals to people out there? Because there would be a number of our audience that would remember not going to work on that Tuesday, or maybe wagging school and going along to a state game and being part of that in the middle of the week. I'm just not so sure that it appeals to as many people on a weekend, because there are things that, or on a Friday night, because there's things that you have to do as families and so on, where during the week it might be something that entices a bigger crowd. Warren joins us. G'day.
Warren's gone. Doesn't want to talk to us.
All right,
anymore.
We'll clear a break. On the other side, we'll come back with more of Sports Day. Michael Waddles will join us next.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 922-11882. 27 players picked for Victoria in the All-Stars. Michael Walters to join us shortly. Some mouth-watering contests. Who would you like to see match up on each other? That's what I'd like to hear from you. And what should the AFL spend their money on? And who do you think are the money men in the AFL? The total player payments was released today. We know, Hayes, that there are nine players that are currently getting $1 million plus. Let's go to Troy and Ross Lyon before we have a chat about that. G'day, Troy.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, good.
Were you going to bring up the Ross Lyon comment tonight, or we're just going to talk about it now?
Well, Troy, that was yesterday's news, but yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I heard it on Gareth Parker's show today. That's yesterday's news as well, is it?
Well, this comment that Ross Lyon made about that particular person and all the other comments that he made that was repeated in the newspaper today was all on yesterday's.
Ross Lyon.
Why?
Well, thanks for saying something like that. Right.
Well, what did he say? Did you read the newspaper?
I don't read, Carl, because I'm visually impaired, but I listen to a lot of bloody radio.
Righto. Well, obviously, you didn't listen properly, or you didn't actually read what was actually said. But Ross Lyon's comments about Jesse Hogan was factual in that Fremantle took him on. Obviously, they knew that he'd already had some issues, and you don't have to be Einstein to work it out that he still has some issues. What's wrong with what he said?
Carl, do you know anybody that's had mental issues before?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Have you had it?
No.
Right. Now, Ross Lyon is not a psychologist, is he?
Nor are you.
No. Hey, you want to play that game, buddy? I've been there and done it and still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's bloody tough.
Yeah, but so what's wrong with what Ross Lyon said?
What's negative, Carl? What did he mean by saying negative?
Well, what negative?
Don't you sit there and patronise me.
I'm not patronising you. I'm just saying, what did he say negative?
He's been under so much pressure.
You've got to, mate, what you need to do, what I'm saying to you is you need to listen what he said rather than trying to interpret someone else's comments, and then you'll get it in perspective.
Yeah, right. What's negative, Carl?
I would suggest that he wasn't being negative. That's my point. I think it would be a good idea for you to actually go and listen to the podcast so that you actually hear in context exactly what Ross Lyon said. Okay?
He said it would be a negative ending. So what's negative?
I don't think he did. But anyway,
I don't think he did. I think he said it could be a negative ending. And look, he's entitled to answer that question. He was on a podcast. He's there to talk. And one of the questions was about Jesse Hogan, and he gave a bit of background to it. But yeah, I didn't think there was too much wrong with what he said. It's just his opinion. It's no different than you and I, Carl. We've had our opinion. Kim Hagdorn certainly had his opinion on Jesse Hogan as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Troy. Thanks for calling through. Keep ringing, 922-1182. Michael Walters joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Sonny. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well. And great to see that you are going to be part of the All-Stars. I'd rather say WA, but at least there are nine West Australians. Can you believe that Jason Johannesson's been listed as an international?
No, hey? No, it's a good opportunity. It's a great opportunity to be involved in this. Obviously, it's an unbelievable cause, and the reason why we're doing it is massive. So I couldn't be more happy to be a part of it, that's for sure.
Where do you think it'll rank at the end of your career, Sonny? You've done so much. You've played in the grand final. You've been involved in big finals as well. But when it's all said and done, how much do you think players value this all-star concept?
Yeah, I guess it's massive, especially for someone like me that, you know, I used to enjoy playing for WA, especially in the States. But state footy league, but also to be involved in the All-Stars versus Victoria. You know, as a young kid, you still remember the Vics and the All-Stars. Gary Ablett's one of my idols, so guys like that running around. And yeah, it's a great concept, but also at the end of my career, you'll be looking back at the bushfires and all the tragedy that happened there. To be involved in this, I couldn't be more proud of myself, but also the AFL as well.
What about looking through the list of superstars? Is there one or two players that you can't wait to get to know a little bit better and play alongside?
Yeah, there's guys like Charlie Cameron, who, you know, I played a bit of footy with him back at Swan District. Brad Hill, you know, it's also good to run it back with those guys for one more game, but also to see the preparation that goes into it by players like, you know, Fifey, I've been lucky enough to see, but also Lachie Neale as well. But guys like Paddy Cripps, who you don't tend to see a lot of in terms of preparation. You only see their on-field sort of stuff. And there's no doubt I'll be looking deeply into those sort of guys' preparation and trying to get the best out of my career as well.
Where do you see yourself playing, Sonny? You're going to be just perched on the half-forward flank. Have you spoken to your coach yet? How will that part work?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. There's no doubt I'll probably play forward along with the likes of Charlie Cameron, like I said. But I don't think there's any room for me in the midfield, all those big bulls button heads. So it'd be quite a spectacle. I mean, it's one of those things you see, you know, Nat Fyfe, Paddy Dangerfield, Dusty Martin, Coniglio, guys like that running around, and you couldn't help but just watch. And there's no doubt that the spectators are going to be there, are going to see a real elite midfielders going at it.
What about back for Fremantle? Disappointing number today, $1.6 million loss. A lot of injuries down there, Sonny. Can you give us the progress of Alex Pearce and Nathan Wilson, those two in particular? Curious to whether they will be there come round one or early in the season.
Yeah, I hope so. Those guys are doing everything they can to make sure they put their hand up for round one selection, but we know it's going to be a slow process because we don't really want to rush those guys, especially the likes of Alex Pearce and Nathan Wilson, real driving force off half back, but also a shutdown defender. So we don't really want to rush those guys. We want to make sure that they're ready for round one whenever they're ready. If not, you know, round two, round three, there's room for them to be playing. But in terms of the rehab group, it is a big group, but I don't think there's any, you know, serious injuries. A lot of players that are coming back now, Liam Henry should be back training pretty soon, and we already know about Joel Hamling is a big loss for us, but there's no doubt that he's going to be trying to lead and help off-field with all the young players as well.
It represents opportunity, though, Sonny, for some young kids, and you got yours going back to 2009 or 2010, I think it was, and you had a practice game on Friday night. Who were some of the youngsters that stood out? You kicked five goals, but who were some of the youngsters that had a good day?
Yeah, there's a lot of young boys. You know, Caleb Sarong is one of those inside mids but also plays up forward as well. And there's a little bit of Lachie Neale about him. He's stocky, he's strong, but he's also got a lovely kick as well. He played pretty well. You've got Hayden Young off half-back, who's a running machine, but can also, you know, he's a laser with that boot. And, you know, a lot of the third to fourth year players are also playing some good footy as well. But it's kind of hard to play against each other in the club game because everyone knows the structures and stuff like that, so they can tend to shark you when you do play in the midfield. But we've got another one coming up this Friday, so it'll be interesting if we can if the young players can back it up and also get the preparation right as well for that.
What's your approach going to be when it comes to not only, you know, your pre-season game that you've played the other day, but going into this state game and leading into the season? How do you approach this part of your year?
In terms of me training and going into this season?
Yep.
Is that what you meant?
Yep.
Yeah, mine's going to be the same as last year. I just want to lead from the front and try to make an impact, but also make an impact on the young boys and try and fast-track them as fast as I can to bring them forward and playing the best way they could be, they could play. And I guess that's really my role. I've been in the leadership group for the last 4 to 5 years, and it's going to be no different this year. I'm going to try and lead, especially the players playing in my position. I'm not going to be around playing footy forever, and there's no doubt at the end of my career I'm going to be supporting Freo. So I want to make sure I fast-track the younger boys because there's no doubt they've got a bright future ahead of them. And in terms of me, I just want to be more consistent like I was last year. go out there, play my role, play my brand of footy, but also lead on the footy field as well.
Where do you expect to play or spend most of the time this year? It was a lot midfield last year. I guess there's still a lot of youth coming through that midfield. Can you give us a percentage split that you think might eventuate?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I'm getting older these days. I'm a third oldest in the team, and depends on whether JL wants to do the same as last year, where it was sort of 50-50 split midfield and also forward. And with that last year, it sort of helped out guys like Fife as well, because we kept on flipping roles as well at stages. And, whenever Fife started in the middle, I started forward. But then also we can run a flip whenever Fife gets tired, and I can go in there and give him a bit of a rest down forward as well. So I'm hoping to sort of that role as well, because I really enjoyed it last year.
You're very close to Ross Lyon. How's your relationship with Justin Longmuir? And what's the difference, the main difference that you've noticed between the two coaches?
Yeah, I mean, I was close with Ross, and there's no doubt that he's one of the guys that turned my career around. And I know that the club's moved forward in another direction, and I've thanked Ross for what he's done throughout my career. But as I said, the club's moved into another direction, and I'm all for it. JL's is a quality person, he's a quality coach. He brings a different vibrancy, but also it's a good thing for the younger boys that didn't really get much opportunity under Ross or through whatever it may be, for them to come in and have a fresh start and hopefully forge their career under JL.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for your time. Great to see you going to be involved in the big game between the Allies and Victoria. Do you like the jumper, by the way? It looks like an upside-down V to me.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a good jumper. I'm not sure what it looks like in the white these days, because the white always makes a little bit chubby. I'm going to have to do a couple of crunches, I reckon, tonight, and see how we go.
Just get it dirty, okay? Get your hands dirty, mate. That's what we want to see. Cheers, mate.
We'll try to. No worries. Thanks, boys.
Michael Walters playing in the Victoria versus All Stars game. 9 WA boys, 6 from South Australia, 5 from New South Wales, 3 from Queensland, 3 from Tassie, and 1 international player, and that is Zach Tui, because Jason Johannesson is a WA boy.
Why only 2 from the West Coast Eagles, Carl? Because we're talking about one of the best sides. There's clearly, we spoke last week,
McGovern's
that it could
injured.
Be 6.
McGovern's injured, so he wasn't available.
Yohan Shepherd.
Yeah.
So
Shannon Hearn wasn't obviously either available, wasn't picked.
Luke Shuey. Andrew Gaff.
Well,
Tim Kelly, I sort of understand, because he wants to spend a bit more time with his teammates.
Who are you going to knock out of Victoria to get those blokes in? I mean, when you look at you've got Sloan, you've got Pendlebury, you've got Sidebottom, you've got Dangerfield.
Looking more potentially
Josh Kelly. You've
at
got
interchange.
You've got Whitfield. Who are you going to knock out? Sean Higgins, Cunnington,
Papley,
Trent Cotchin,
Gresham.
You're going to knock some of the Bontempelli. Are you going to knock them out?
No, not Bontempelli.
Well,
Tui, Mills.
Well, get the audience.
Lockie
in.
Weller had to be included because you need at least one from each club, but he probably doesn't deserve to be in that team in this part of his career. Let's hope he can get there. But I just thought those two players, Gaff and Shuey, superstars. We know that Andrew Gaff's been a regular All-Australian up until that moment, and he would have been good on the wing, but they do have a strong midfield, Kelly and Whitfield on the wings. Hard to replace those two guys.
Righto. This summer, Crown is the only destination where things are bigger, brighter and more fun. I want to give a shout out. Happy birthday to a bloke who rings from Thornley. Justin is his name. It's his birthday today, and he's been doing it tough, Hayes. He's in Hollywood Hospital right now, tuned in hopefully to us. Justin, keep fighting, mate. Call us anytime. We love hearing from our sports lovers like you, like Troy. Doesn't matter what your opinion is, might be different to ours, and you can be as passionate as you like, and that's what we're here for. And we'd love to take your calls next. For anybody that would like to join in, have your say. 922-11882 is a number. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 922-11882, and we've got plenty of time for your calls. Willie is going to join us first in this segment from Southern River. Welcome, Willie.
Yes, g'day. Mate, I just want to comment on Michael Walters. Probably a lot of other guys as well. You know, how well they are spoken when you guys interview them. They don't they're not only professional footballers, they are really professional in their way they're giving comments, and just the honesty and the way they're sort of thinking for the club in the long run, you know, of supporting the young blokes. And yeah, I'm absolutely gobsmacked about their professionalism, not only in football, but, you know, the way they carry themselves, the way their way of thinking. And yeah, it's just amazing. They're just very special human beings, you know.
Yeah, good call, Willie. Yeah, he's a star on and off the field, Sonny Walters. He's a real leader now of the Fremantle Football Club and also of the community as well. He does a lot of good out there. And, you know, given when it all first started for him, I was there at the football club. And it could have gone either way for Sonny. He could have been kicked out like he was by Ross Lyon, who said, go away, do something about your behaviour. And it wasn't until he worked out that that's what he wanted to do. He came back. The rest is history. But the growth in that man has been extraordinary. And he will go on to become one of the greatest players at the Fremantle Dock. Because if he's not there already, Carl.
I think the other thing is too, Willie, is that clubs these days, and they go out of their way to make sure that their players are prepared for when they are being interviewed. So they do get some, you know, professional opportunities to speak to those both in and outside industries like ours, and that is, I think, also something that really helps them. They get put in scenarios where they're both in front of the microphone and behind the microphone so that they can experiment a little bit when they do get their opportunity. 922-11882 is our number. G'day, Don.
Boys, listen, a couple of points before I get on to Docker's net loss. This $50 million profit by the AFL, mate, there's no reason why the car, as you said, Carl, before, they're subsidising this junior programs and all that. The clubs are put in, you know, all these costs for parents and umpires and all that. I mean, absolute garbage. I mean, they're giving the VFL last year $18 million and not one single dollar come our way. You know, I don't know what other states receive, but absolute garbage. Second point, Hayes. You're the numbers, man. I mean, look, I'm not too bad with the numbers, but just off the top of my head, can you tell me how many members the Dockers have?
I think right now they're up to about 44,000. I think at their peak they got to 56,000.
56,000, okay. Are they counting cats and dogs?
I think a lot of clubs count cats and dogs, yep, and pets.
Just a calm. Can't work it out. I know Eagles had a few years successful and all that. $10 million profit. They're going to give away, not giving away, but the royalties to WA Footy Commission, $3.5 to $4 million. But just such a big discrepancy, okay, to say they've got 50,000 members. I mean, I just don't get it.
I think part of that also is a payout to Ross Lyon. You're looking at maybe $800 to $1 million right there. So it brings the number straight away, straight down, doesn't it, to less than $1 million.
Yeah.
But I think their last...
Discrepant.
Yeah, between the Eagles and the Dockers, it's still quite massive. You're right. I think the last net loss they had was going back to 2002. So it's been a pretty good run. But given what's going on with the style of play, I think, with Ross Lyon, the redevelopment...
Well, the fans haven't been turning up. And, I mean it's where, you know, those that have been running the football club have made the hard decision to get rid of the coach and other elements and try to get them back on track. So that's the whole reason why you have people running footy clubs to make hard decisions when they need to be made. And in the end, they have. The losses that... Well, how many wins did Freo have in the last period? If you look at it, wasn't that many.
No.
There wasn't a lot to cheer about in the last 3 or 4 years for Freo. And that's what was, I think, starting to get a lot of supporters anxious, like Norm and Subi. Hello, Norm.
Hey, hi. Thank you. Enjoying the show again. Look, I'm not going to beat an old drum. This is a firstly question. In relation to the players taking part in the State of Origin game, do they make their own decision or does the club make the decision?
I think can make their own. If they don't want to play, they can just put their hand up and say, no,
yeah,
I don't want to play.
Yeah, but if you're injured, obviously, you make a smart choice. You don't want to put yourself at further risk.
Well, say, like, and look, I accept Nat Pipes is playing, but I wondered if he made his own decision or did the club clear him? And looking at West Coast players, I don't know what their reason was for not playing. Anyway, okay, if Fife did play, let me ask you this. And by the way, there's been a lot of calls in other weeks where people don't seem to be a little bit ignorant of of injuries. And they sort of say, look, this is such an important game, say five, for example. Oh, he's got to play. And just because a guy like Bo Waters could run around with two broken legs doesn't mean everyone's got can or everyone's got the same, you know, ability to withstand it. But I don't think any person in the bushfires who suffered in the bushfires, however severely or not, would want any player to go out and put themselves at risk. So those callers, I think they're off the ball there. They were any bushfire victim would understand that an injured person shouldn't go out. But anyway, if you were the Brownlow medalist, and a game like this with so much emotions coming up, how much pressure would you feel to play if you were the current number one player in the country? Do you think that you may just feel that you had to say yes?
Nah, I don't think so, Norm. None whatsoever.
No. Not if you're not right.
I think the good part is that though...
It'd be very hard to not play, wouldn't it?
Well, 9 of the top 10 players in the Brownlow medal voting from last year are playing in the game.
Yeah, but are they any of them injured?
Well, you've got an extended bench here too, so you've got... probably a situation here where though we'll all get a run. There's unlimited rotations.
None of these players are injured though. Everyone that's lining up is fully fit and has probably had a really good pre-season. The thing that's missed here is the timing of this game is that if Nat Fyfe wasn't playing in this game, he's playing in another game for Fremantle. So you're just as likely to get injured in that game as you are in an All-Star game. I don't think there's any game you go harder in than any other game.
Going half-hearted, Norm, you get hurt.
Yeah, just wondered, so there's a game coming up at Carlton, New York, and that'd be just as hard as the All-Star
absolutely.
Game.
I mean,
you can't try harder than your very best. You know, if you're not trying your hardest in every game, then you've got issues.
They're probably going to be playing less in this game, Norm, even though the calibre of opposition is going to be high. They'll be playing less in the State of Origin game than they would be if they were playing in the club match, because there's more players involved.
And the ball could actually travel around the ground quicker because of the skill level, the higher skill level, so maybe less collisions.
Yeah.
But, you know, just generally, over time, some players have been criticised for not being able to play through injury. There's a few I can't think of some well-known players in Victoria. The word went around. I think Brian Lake had that said against him once. And, it does make it hard, doesn't it? I mentioned Bo Waters. What a brave man he was. Did you guys feel that pressure when you know that a guy, you know, other teammates are playing under enormous difficulty? But it's hard. Is it hard to put your hand up and say, I can't do it, or do the medicos just rule you out these days?
Look, I played with injury through the 2006 final series with a lot of injections, and at the time I just wanted to play because I'd been there for seven years. I just wanted to be a part of it. Looking back on it, I wish I probably hadn't put my name up because I didn't play well, didn't help anyone, and in the end I was replaced before the prelim final going back to 06. But you can look at it different ways. But at the time, there's no way I was giving up my spot.
Hey, Normie, I saw plenty of blokes through my time lining up at the doctor's rooms to get that cortisone injection before they go out in the ground, mate. You weren't giving up your spot, trust me. You were keeping that for as long as you can, okay?
Well, I must say, I met one of your old players, I won't name him, at the golf course one day, and he was hitting the ball, and you might even guess, he's pretty good strike of the ball, and he said he can't run anymore, but so he plays golf, but he said he wouldn't change a thing, so he's happy not to be able to run. You might be right there.
See you, mate.
But
he's
happy to have had the experience. Thanks a lot.
See absolutely, later. Yeah. Well, I'm
Dermot Brereton's another one right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get him on the show at some stage. But he's having a lot of surgery, and there was an X-ray of his spine, and it's crooked. And he's really struggling at his age and now clearly regrets some of the actions that he did on the footy field.
We need to clear a break. On the other side, more of your calls. Join in. 922-1182 is the number. If you'd like to make a comment, a statement, ask a question, you can go for it next.
Stay for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Hey, Hayes, the AFLW investigation. Is there a link between ACL injuries and menstrual cycles? Now, it's been revealed, and I was working with Nikki Harwood, who coaches East Fremantle in the local West Australian Football League. She's a back-to-back premiership coach at East Fremantle, and she actually let us know during the broadcast on the weekend that there had been a number of girls that had reported doing ACL injuries during their menstrual cycle, and it's been spoken about. So the league is working alongside the AFL Players Association and La Trobe University to research the possible correlations, because there has been some commentary. Associate Professor at Melbourne University, Adam Bryant, said that there had been a definite link between the female menstrual cycle and lower limb injuries, particularly the Achilles tendon. He says that muscles in the lower leg become more flexible during particular stages of the cycle, like ovulation. So, mate, that'll be really interesting to see the outcome of that, because it may play a part in the future of the women's game.
Absolutely. And it's also looked into the association between the oral contraceptive pill and the menstrual cycle with injury rates as well. So, yeah, a bit there for the AFL to work through. Clearly, there's an issue there. There's now been eight to start this season. It's scary to think by the end of the season at this rate how many of the girls might go down. But, you know, this has also been researched not only in AFLW but also a lot of women's sport around the world, that there could be some link. So that would certainly help. Obviously, you want the ligaments to be as strong every time you go out to play.
Absolutely. So, yeah, be interested to see what the outcome of that is and how long it takes. Let's hope they can get it done and dusted in a relatively short period of time so that we can see less girls going down. Because the sad part is, mate, it's that they are listed at the moment of somewhere between 2 and 10 times. Imagine if it's 10 times more likely to do a knee.
Well, it was thought because of their hips and the rotation of their hips that they do face a little bit out, that was the key reason. But this is interesting research. What about the T20 World Cup warm-up match today, Carl? It was the Australian women. They got over the line against South Africa. They're not doing it easy, I must admit. They're going to be challenged through this tournament. Lanning, 47. Haynes, 39. Alyssa Healy, I want your opinion about this. These are her last scores. 9-1, 0-1. 4-9.
Yep.
She's a star.
It's T20 cricket.
Does there come a point in this tournament, if she continues down this track, that they may do the unthinkable?
No, I don't think so.
Keep going.
Well, who stands behind the wickets?
Well, I'm sure they've got another player that could come in and do that role.
Not as well as what she does it.
So you just get free reign, you just keep going with it, no matter what?
Yeah, well, I think so.
Runs on the board?
Well, I think that she has certainly the capabilities, and, mate, it's a fickle game, the old T20 cricket. Sometimes, you know, you are obviously judged by your recent track record, but I'd be sticking with her. I think that she is really important. I think the work that she does behind the stumps is something that's really important to that particular team. The other thing is I'll be interested in is how Nick Kyrgios goes tomorrow morning, our time. Jordan Thompson and Bernard Tomic play at late tonight, and John Millman lost this morning at Delray Beach. Of course, this is in the lead up to the US Tennis Open, which will be the second major of the year.
French Open,
leading to the French Open, and we've got a match that's being played tonight with the Glory in action, and currently that is nil all. Be interesting to see whether the Glory can get across the line there.
And how old is too old? Because Kim Clijsters has made her comeback. She played against Muguruza, who we remember in the final here at the Australian Open. She's 38. She's been out for 8 years, didn't embarrass herself. 6'2", 7'6". When I was playing, I think when you were playing, 30 was always the sports retirement time, wasn't it, for most people? Do you feel that this is now growing on the back of Dave Mundy still going around, Gary Ablett, Roger Federer? I think 40 is the new 30 when it comes to sport. We're going to see more and more through that age bracket.
No, I don't think so.
35?
It's
definitely been a change in the AFL.
Not really. There's always been the odd exception. Like, if you think about a Fletcher and a Brent Harvey and those that can play longer, they play so many games because they're lucky they escape the injury bucket. You know, in a lot of cases, that's what it comes down to. Now, Kim Clijsters is lucky that her body is in good shape, that she's able to do it. But there'd be a lot more of us that wouldn't finish at 27 if we didn't have to. But the reason why you finish is that you come out on the wrong side of the injury ledger. And that's what cuts you short in a lot of sport. It doesn't matter what sport you play, and it doesn't matter at what level either. I reckon there'd be a lot of people listening in right now that had their career cut down in community sport because of injury. 922-1882 is the number if you'd like to join us. We'll tell you what's coming up after the news next here on Sports Day.
Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
And the 7 o'clock news is fast approaching, and it'll be nice to have our AFLW coaches Trent Cooper and Luke Dwyer to recap what happened on the weekend and look at the upcoming games this weekend. Freo taking on Collingwood, top of the table clash that one, and the West Coast Eagles taking on the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Trevor Gleeson as the Wildcats head into finals action. That match not being played till Friday week. First up against Cairns here. Madison Hinson-Tolchard will join us. She won our 6PR Special Achievement Award. She's a young golfer and amateur. She also comes out of the Richie Smith production line, which includes Minji Lee and Minwoo Lee, of course. Maddie Inglis, who's going to be involved in tennis action tomorrow here at the WA Tennis Centre, so looking forward to having a yak to her. And Johnny Saxon to recap the NRL Nines out of the weekend, because there was a good turnout. 24,000 fans, was pretty hot. We'll have a yak to him as well here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have our AFLW coaches back-to-back off the top of seven, which we'll be doing all of the AFLW season. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto, get amongst it, play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. We start with Freo, the winners, and winners are grinners. They thrashed the West Coast Eagles, and Trent Cooper joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Trent. How are you?
Yeah, very well, Carl and Paul. Thanks for having me.
Nice performance, mate. I was there to call it live, and Kiara Bowers, I thought, was going to have 44 tackles, mate. She was on fire. She had 11 at quarter time.
Yeah, and even the protester as well in the middle of the second quarter. So, yeah, nothing gets past her, that's for sure. No, she was really instrumental in setting the standard for the day, I thought her performance across the four quarters, she really stood up when the game was there to be won, and we probably rested her a fair bit later on in the game because of her workload, but she was outstanding.
Trent, you've done an outstanding job with this group. The game plan, it's attacking, it's probably the most attacking in the competition. You've resisted the temptation to put Antonio back in the back line, I like that, but also getting the tackle pressure. It's not easy to get both in a game of footy, but you must be pleased you're getting both.
Yeah, it's a really important part of our offensive game is getting those turnovers, because it's hard to score directly out of stoppages. So we have to get the turnovers somewhere on the ground, and that is all about tackle pressure. So it was at half time on the weekend, we'd had 50 tackles. You think for an AFL men's game, that's about 88 with the time difference. And if you double that, you're talking 170 tackles. So it was actually at ridiculous levels, and it was always going to be hard for the opposition to stand up to that. So it's a really big part of our game is our tackle pressure.
And you keep finding players. That's the most impressive part. Katie Jane Greve, she was outstanding. 2 goals from her 11 possessions. And Jasmine Stewart, you talked her up pre-season. She's starting to deliver too. 2 goals as well from her 12.
Yeah, that's right. They're both punts inside mids. And it's just what opportunity brings. Dana Hooker left, and those two never got a chance to play inside mid last year. And they've trained really hard and stepped up and getting the rewards for it. So it's really pleasing. Katie Jane's still inexperienced. She probably played 20 games of footy in her life, and she's just getting better and better, and had a really good pre-season. Yes, she was a high draft pick for us last year. Didn't quite work out for her, but she's come back hungrier, worked really hard, and yeah, we love seeing her in space with that deadly left foot.
Yeah, and look, she kicked a couple of really nice goals. I thought the Greaves were probably better, but your conversion inside 50, you know, you went at 50%, which when you think about the girls' game and the number of scoring opportunities that are getting inside attacking 50, to score 15 out of the 30 times must have been, you know, pretty impressive for you.
Yeah, it was, and it was something that was highlighted last week that we had a lot of inside 50s and didn't score, but sometimes that's just the way the game's played. We did a lot of attacking on the weekend from our back half, and that's when our forward line's better, when there's a lot of space around them, because we are quite quick down there. So if we know we can get some space down there, we're pretty hard to contain, and we're really even through there. So like last week it was Sab Duffy who was outstanding, and this week I thought Gabby O'Sullivan, she really got off the chain and was influential, particularly in that first half.
I was going to mention Gabby. She's one of my favourites. Now, you take on Collingwood. They have improved, no doubt about that. They sit atop the ladder like yourself, top of the table clash. It's going to be a beauty at Freo Oval.
Yeah, they've been really impressive. I had a good look at them against Carlton, and it was a very high-quality game. They've completely changed their game style. They run, they use the hair pass, a lot of uncontested possession, and they use the ball well, and their top five is probably as good as any side's top five. So there's a bit of work for us to think about at selection tonight and how we can shut them down a little bit, but then make sure that we can play our game.
Jamie Lambert's been on fire too.
Yeah, so with her and Chloe Malloy, it's a really dangerous double act because they both play through the middle and both go forward. So you have to have a couple of plans for them. And she's been really consistent, Lambert. And Malloy's one of the real class players in the competition, only 19. She's really hard to contain. She can go to any line. So as far as the coach goes, she's the sort of player you'd like to have. And for an opposing coach, she's a bit of a nightmare because you have to keep your eyes open all the time.
Hey, Trent, there seemed to be a fair bit of banter going on between the West Coast and Freo girls, as you predicted. Now, will there be anything going on between one of your girls and Stacey Livingston after a couple of her commentary moments this week against Taylor Harris? She was pretty forward, said she was useless when the ball hit the ground.
Yeah, no, it was interesting comments. It was, from a spectator's point of view, I loved it, the open and honest, but I think you still have to show a level of respect to your opposition, particularly in those in media circles.
Just send Roxy Rue her way. I reckon that might be enough.
Yeah, Roxy's, it'd be interesting who Livingston does go to. She's a very good player, good defender. Her and Ash Brazel, I think, are as good as any key defensive duo in the comp. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go with Houghton, Ebony Antonio and Roxy Rue. It'll be interesting to see which way they go. And again, though, they can only take two of those players. And one of them hopefully can get off the leash as well. So that's what we're working through our depth in that forward line.
I reckon Roxy, before the end of the season, will be standing on another girl's head and taking a hanger. She flew for a few on the weekend and didn't grab them all, but I tell you what, she had a crack. Thanks for your time.
No worries at all, boys. Looking forward to a really tough game at Freo Oval. Hope we get a big crowd down there.
Good on you. Thank you, Trent Cooper from the Fremantle Dockers, as we go to Luke Dwyer at West Coast. Welcome, Luke.
G'day, guys.
How are you going, mate? How'd you pull up after, well, being bashed up by Freo, let's face it, on the weekend?
Oh, no, Leah, look, the girls have pulled up really well. We obviously had our team review last night and some training off the back of, a Saturday game. And, yeah, look, it was a really physical game. We knew that going in. And obviously, full credit to Fremantle in terms of their pressure around the football, their tackling pressure on our girls, and obviously they got a well-deserved win in the end.
Kelly Gibson, $400 lighter in the pocket, unfortunately, but she looked a little bit frustrated, couldn't get hold of the footy. Can you use her in other positions? Like, is she one that you can throw into the midfield, you think? I mean, what's your thoughts around her?
Oh, yeah, potentially. Obviously, Kelly... by all her own account, she probably didn't have the game that she wanted to, but there was still some really good pressure acts from her off the ball. Her she obviously was a little bit touch and go with one contest she did on one of the Freo girls late in the game and received a reprimand for that, but she's training really hard. She's preparing herself really well every week, and we will potentially look at maybe using her up around the football a bit more at stages over the next few weeks. But certainly her ability is still in that forward line, and she's a dangerous forward, and we know that. And if we can get it in there a little bit quicker and give her a chance to compete in some one-on-ones, I think we'll see her hitting the scoreboard.
Luke, it's a new team. You've got to keep looking for the positives. And there were a few, no doubt about that. Belinda Smith, I thought her job on Sabrina Duffy after kicking four goals last week was outstanding. And also Neve Kelly, another one that keeps improving, started to find a lot of the footy.
Yeah, I agree with definitely with those comments around Belinda and Neve. Belinda, we gave the job to her pretty early in the week that she was going to... Going to stay with Sabrina Duffy, who's a very dangerous forward. I thought over the journey of the four quarters, Belinda did a great job. And, Duffy kicked a goal late in the game, but, she's a clever forward and she was always probably going to get a look at some stage. But I thought Belinda's concentration was fantastic. And yeah, Neve, that was probably her best game for us so far in terms of, getting her hands on the footy and applying pressure. I think we'll see with her running profile and her fitness. Will the more confident she gets in terms of playing the game, I think we'll see her hopefully get the ball a bit more out in space and using her speed.
Are there any concerns about your superstars? Emma Swanson copped one, so did Dana Hooker. Are they likely to play?
No, both are really likely to play. They've pulled up pretty well, and again, we've got training tomorrow night, so we'll have pretty much the whole squad up and going tomorrow night. You know, there's some general soreness around a few of the players, and Dana and Swanee are included in that. But they're professional. They're really getting to work with their recovery and you know, preparing themselves for another huge challenge over in Sydney on Sunday against GWS.
GWS, a narrow win against Gold Coast, 1 point in round one. They had their colours lowered like yourselves on the weekend against North Melbourne. Who are you going to have to plan for and quell their influence? I saw a couple of their position winners, and when it comes to Alicia Eva getting it 21 times and Elise Parker, they're probably two you're going to have to watch.
Yeah, definitely. You've hit the nail on the head there, Carl. Eva and Parker, they're primary inside mids who get a lot of their ball movement going. They're strong around the contest. We'll have some plans in place, obviously to go with those girls and certainly across all lines they're pretty consistent. The Giants, they went down on the weekend, but they won the contested battle in the numbers against North Melbourne, which I know they pride themselves on. So. Yeah, we're going to have to be switched on and ready to go from that first bounce because, again, we come up against a side that has really good AFLW experience and we need to be ready.
Hey, Luke, how do you get more productive inside 50? Because it's not like you're not getting it in there. You are. You've had your chances, but you just haven't been able to put the score on the board.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. We're training hard. We're making sure that our forwards and our mids understand that there's times where we'd like to move the ball quickly inside 50, and there's times where we have to be a little bit more composed. I think you probably saw even on the weekend that our forwards they're working hard. They're working hard for each other, and they're not too far away from taking a few marks and going back and having some set shots on goal. We'd like to be definitely more efficient with the amount of inside 50s that we're getting. But again, it comes back to our training. We're growing as a forward line. They're learning to play together more every week. And I can't fault the way that they're preparing, and we just make sure that we give them every chance to try and produce that on game day.
How close are Cassie Davidson and Mel Caulfield, two former Fremantle players who would certainly add to your list?
Yeah, they're both pretty close. Cassie's had a really consistent, 6 weeks. She's training really well. She's putting her hand up every week, and we obviously haven't selected her yet, but she's staying really positive, and she's if and when she gets the tap and to say she's playing, we're really confident that she'll be ready. And Mel's tracking really well. She's ticking off all her rehab milestones, and she's been doing match sim with us for a good 2 weeks now, so she's definitely probably maybe a fortnight away from being available, and providing she continues to track well with her training.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us. Good luck on the weekend.
No, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Round three of AFLW action. So Freo Dockers down at Freo Oval. 4:10, the match gets underway against Collingwood, and the West Coast Eagles are the early game at the Blacktown International Sports Park. 10:10 on Sunday morning, you'll see the West Coast Eagles girls in action. It's Kia's open season with match-winning deals and Australia's best 7-year warranty right across the range. We'll be joined after the break by Wildcats coach Trevor Gleeson. Nice to have our Wildcats coach Trevor Gleeson on the program for Tyre Power. You get the power of Australia's biggest independent. Welcome, Trev. How are you going?
G'day, boys. How are we?
We're going really well. Now, you felt that if there was a couple of blokes with a niggle that you wouldn't have held back in once you knew that you couldn't be moved from your position in the competition, that you might rest a couple of blokes, and you did. But I didn't think it would be White and Cotton both in the same game, but you still did pretty well without them.
Yeah, did really well. Tirico couldn't play, actually. He got a bang, a knee-on-knee, the week before with Patterson, so he wouldn't have been able to play at all. But Bryce has been carrying a little bit of niggle, so we thought, well, let's just freshen up this week. It really didn't matter for the ladder position and gave us an opportunity to play some young fellas out there.
Trev, do they come straight back in? Because Wani Swakalobaluk was very good from his 26 minutes. He took his opportunity. And Nick Pozoglu, he was also impressive. It's great to see those young guys get the opportunity and do well.
Yeah, he did well with the names too.
Good for him.
Look, they were fantastic. They really got the go on Luke Travers. We've just signed him for a 3-year deal starting next year. So it was great to get the young fellas out on court against quality opposition instead of the training track. And look, both Bryce and Tirico should be fine. They'll have a full practice tomorrow and we'll go from there. But expecting them to play in the first semi-final.
Not big minutes into Damien Martin into that game. Any reason? Is he right to go for the finals?
Yeah, no, still on restricted in the minutes. You know, he was on 12 to 15 minutes. So we got him a bit of a gallop out there, and it was good to play some minutes with Miles as well, because he hasn't played any court time with him. So, yeah, I was quite happy with that.
Tirico White has been interrupted for a while now. Didn't do too much at training, is my understanding, today. MVP of the finals last year. Do you expect him to get back to his best, or would you just be happy for him to get out there and obviously contribute to the team?
Yeah, it's great that we have 2 weeks before we play. So if it was this week, he'd probably be a little bit underdone if we played this weekend. But we've got another week to put some minutes into him and get him up and down the court and get him back. But, you know, Tirico, he knows what time it is. He's a big-time player. He steps up when the pressure's big. And, you know, we're going to need him in this run. And hopefully he's fine and ready to go.
Nick Kay, we spoke to him last night. Great reward for effort. Picked in the first five in the competition this year alongside Bryce Cotton, of course.
Yeah, look, he's our Rolls Royce. And I was concerned that he might get overlooked for that position. I was so happy for him to get the award Sunday night, because he just puts on his hard hat, rolls up his sleeves and gets after it. Doesn't matter if it's raining, if it's pouring, if it's snowing, it's 40 degrees, he turns up and has no excuses. And, you know, he's just premium quality. And, you know, the last month he's been in rip-roaring form. So that's the great thing to carry into the finals.
What's your team rules for a night like that? Because I understand that the boys, like last year, didn't have a drink.
Yeah, no, we're just, that's more of a player run. No shaving, no drinking. So that's pretty much the sock landed standard. So, yeah, no, the boys are really locked in and looking forward to good finals performance.
What about the coach? Did he have a red or did he jump on the same bandwagon?
No, he's all in, mate, all in. This time of the year, it's cross the T's, dot the I's, make sure you're on top of it. I want to be sharper than a tack, mate. So I got to get up early, get on point, and make sure we're going in the right direction.
You need to be sharp to beat Cairns, because they've been the big mover of the competition in season 2019-20. Scott Machado, he was inside that first five team, and DJ Newble, a very impressive player. They lost their last two, but they, like you, rested a few players, but they had you measure a couple of times throughout the year. Won't be easy.
Yeah, they got us here early in October, way back at the start of the season, and then we went up there, and I'm pretty sure Tirico didn't play that game, and I think Bryce was 1 foot on the plane. He was ready to fly back home with the birth of his child. So the last time we went up there, we had a good win, got some really good form out of that. So, yeah, looking forward to it. We know it's going to be a tough battle, and they're very, very talented, and We're going to, you know, use that home court advantage. Hopefully we've got 14,000 screaming Red Army to support us.
Trev, given that you do have an extended layoff, do you give the boys a good break and get them back to training, or do you just keep a little bit of the momentum going for the group that, say, don't have some niggling injuries?
Yeah, no, we gave them a couple of days off, so we haven't been back on the court yet from the weekend. So it's a good little refresher. Then tomorrow we'll get a ball in the hand and start to build up and get in our normal routine for next week. But, yeah, we still want to stay sharp and, you know, have that laser focus going into the semi-final.
Injuries aside, do you like the break, or is it too long, in your opinion, between the end of the season to the start of the finals?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not a fan of the break, but last year it worked in our favour. Mm. We had some older guys, and just freshens everybody up, and, you know, we play, you know, two games in 3 days and three travel in there. So it's pretty grueling once you get into it. So it's pretty good for us to have, you know, like a Damo and Jesse that, you know, on the other side of 30 to fresh them up, ready to go for these finals.
I know it's not your team at the Adelaide 36ers. They were pretty average this year, and they certainly had their chance against an undermanned Wildcats. They came back into it. You would have been happy with the last quarter when they did press for the win, but are you expecting major change from that club?
Yeah, just the whispers going around there, there's going to be a lot of change. And you know, it was good for, it was a 2-point game, and our young fellas really stepped up the last 4 or 5 minutes. And it was a credit to them to play like that against the quality opposition. And, you know, there's always change at professional level. If you don't make the playoffs, I think that's 2 years in a row now Adelaide haven't made the playoffs. So I think they're going to start rocking the boat here pretty shortly.
Joey Wright, 500 games, a nemesis of yours, but you've had some great battles, and I understand there's a lot of respect.
Yeah, without question. Like, I've got to know Joey before we even started coaching. So, you know, it was funny, they told me in the broadcast that we coached against each other 50 times and we both had the same record, 25-25. So we've had some good battles along the way, and, yeah, hopefully he's back in the league and coaching again in Australia.
Thanks, Trev. Great to chat, mate, and we will have a chat to you next Tuesday in advance of the big game that gets underway the following Friday. Thanks very much for your time.
No worries, boys. Cheers.
28th of Feb, that big Friday is that we're talking about, when the Wildcats take on Cairns in the first of three, the best of three finals. And let's hope our Wildcats can be in the big dance again, Paul Hazelby.
Do you like the break, Carl, or would you rather
start
this week?
No, I like momentum. It's a little bit like what they did with the Big Bash. They had all of this momentum going, and then they stopped, and then the Australian Tennis Open started, and so did a lot of those shows on television like Maths and all that sort of stuff, and then all of a sudden they were caught up in everything else that was going on. I just think you keep on rolling with it, and, you know, everyone's in the same boat when it comes to the difficulties of getting through a season with injuries and all that sort of stuff, and managing players all becomes part and parcel of the strategy of the game, which is what I would like to see happen, Hayes, but, hey, I'm no expert. But that's what I'd like to see in future. It's like the AFL when they have the bye heading into the finals. Just get it on. Tyre Power's Best Buys Big Brand Sale is on now. Buy three and get one free on Falcon Tyres this February. Conditions apply. We'll be back with Maddie Hinson-Tolchard, who won our 6PR Achievement Award for 2019. She'll join us. Welcome back to Sports Day, a Summer of Sport update. Macca's Mini Games are here. Play and win every time. And our 6PR Special Achievement Award last week went to a young lady, a golfer by the name of Madison Hinson-Tolchard. And she joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Maddie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Really well. Congratulations, firstly, on the award. Now, just tell us about 2019 and how you felt your year progressed.
2019 was a very big year for me because I was in year 12 and trying to juggle all the golf as well. So it was a busy year, that's for sure, but still managed to play a lot of golf and finished year 12 and did really well with my studies. So, yeah.
14 tournaments you played in 2019 whilst completing your studies there at Penrose College. And I know they've been very proud of what you've been able to achieve. The golf and a program at school, was that something that you did, or was the program that you did outside of your school? Because I know that you are one of many that have worked with Richie Smith locally as a coach.
Yeah, so I did my golf separate to school. So I worked with Richie throughout the year. And also the school helped me a lot with the golf as well. They let me travel to my tournaments as long as I kept my grades up and didn't fall behind in my studies. So they were really, really helpful with all of that as well.
Tell us more about Richie Smith, because I believe he should have won Coach of the Year last week at the RAC Awards. He didn't. He was beaten by Justin Langer, but he trains so many. There must be something that sets him apart from everybody else.
Yeah, well, Richie is amazing. Pretty tough competition. He was up against the Coach of the Year, but just to be a finalist was pretty cool anyway. But I've known Richie pretty much my whole life. I've been having lessons with him since I was 6 years old, maybe. So, yeah, he's been a big part of my life and has got me to where I am today. And he's awesome for me. I see him about every 2 weeks when I'm home, and we always are working on similar things, trying to get my swing to where we want it to be, and a lot of short game stuff as well, so that's really tight for when I need it. But yeah, Richie's awesome.
Madison, you are still an amateur, and this 6PR Special Achievement Award has a really golf flavour about it, particularly in the last few years, because back in 2013, the winner of this award that you've just won was Minji Lee. In 2015, it was Min Woo Lee. In 2016, it was Fred Lee. And last year, it was Kirsten Rugley. Now, she was a lady that you played in the tournament, one of the first tournaments that you played in this year, the Australian Amateur Women's Championship. I think she finished ninth, and that was an event in which you finished tied for 17th.
Yeah. I mean, the award obviously has a lot of good golfers on it, especially Minji and Minwoo, and Minwoo winning at the Vic Open a couple of weeks ago was really good to see. But yeah, Kirsten and I have been playing golf with each other for quite a few years now. We've had some good tournaments against each other, and she's doing awesome with what she's doing, and I like to think that I'm heading in the right direction as well, so we'll see what happens in the next few months with each other.
You certainly are. Now, what needs to happen for you to take the next step and turn professional?
Well, I'm not really thinking about turning professional in the next few months or anything like that. It's sort of a 3-year goal, I guess, so I'm actually starting college in America in August at Oklahoma State University. So that's my next step. I've got a full scholarship there for 4 years roughly, but I'm hoping that I can turn pro maybe in the next 3 to 4 years. So that's my next step at the moment.
So how's Mum and Dad feel about their little girl going away to the US of A to go to college? And what does that mean? I mean, what does the opportunity to go to America and go to college mean for you? What do you get to do other than study?
I think Mum and Dad at the moment are quite excited about it all, but we'll see what happens when it actually comes time to leave. I'm sure Mum will be a bit teary, and maybe Dad a little bit as well. But I think college for me is just a great opportunity. Not only moving away from home to the other side of the world, it's going to be a great experience, but the golf as well. The competition over there is so high, and you're basically competing against the best in the world every week. So it's going to be a good way to see where I'm at against everybody else, but also a great way to develop my game and become more competitive against everybody else as well.
Talking about great experiences, what was it like to play alongside Kari Webb, one of your idols?
Oh, that was amazing. That was such a cool experience for me. I didn't get to watch much of Kari growing up, but I have watched a bit of her in the last couple of years, and obviously she's an Aussie icon and a great role model for all women and girls in Australia for golf. So yeah, definitely playing with her was a great experience, and she helped me out a lot and taught me a couple of things. So yeah, it was amazing to play with her.
Well, you're only 18, you've got the world at your feet, and you've got a great opportunity. Keep plying your craft. And before I let you go, I know Hayes has got one more question for you.
Do you need a caddy?
Well, no one's taken up that job yet. Dad does get quite a bit of that, but yeah, you can put your name down. Sure.
You want a free trip to the US, do you, Hayes, just to go and carry the bag?
Nothing's for free. It's a service car. You've got to provide it. I feel I could walk the greens around the world very well.
I reckon you could too. Probably do you some good. Maddie, thank you for your time. Good luck, young lady. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. It was great to talk to you.
Good on you. Madison Hinson-Tolchard. And isn't Richie Smith just churning out some absolute stars?
Should have won Coach of the Year, Carl. Justin Langer, I was a bit surprised by that. Yes, he's turned around the team, but they didn't win the World Cup.
No.
They drew the Ashes, which is a pretty good performance, and they come back here and have a win. I just thought what he had done with Hannah Green in particular, Minwoo,
Maddie,
and there's plenty more.
Well, Kirsten, who we just spoke about, they're all in the stable. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's done a fantastic job. Nice to have a chat to him. We'll turn our focus to tennis next. We'll be joined by Maddie Inglis here on Sports Day. She'll be in action here in Perth for Macca's. Mini games are here. Play and win for daily food prizes only on the My Macca. Welcome back to Sports Day, Crown Perth Sports Update. This summer you can live a little larger at Crown. In fact, you can come along to our WA Tennis Centre and then you can go to Crown and eat all you like, because we have plenty of top-class tennis action and includes WA's Madison Inglis, who is the top seed at the Perth International. She joins us here on Sports Day. Maddie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you going? World number 117. You're working your way in the right direction.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been an awesome few months, I think. Getting there, but still a bit to go. It's just been exciting.
There's one tournament that everybody wants to win, and that's the Burnie International. And you won that. What was it like to have your biggest win to date?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a bit unexpected, to be honest. I think coming off from the Australian Open, and I don't know, it was just I just played really well and I was pretty chilled. So, yeah, it was really exciting.
What do you put the improvement down to? Getting up to the world ranking of 117 across the year 2019, what do you put it down to?
I don't know. I think there's a few things, but probably just been winning and playing a lot of matches, I think, and probably match confidence. But, yeah, I've moved my base to Brisbane, so that's been a bit of a change, and it seems to be paying off at the moment. So, yeah, it's been good.
What can we expect here at the Perth International here on a court I would suggest that you're pretty familiar with?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so exciting to be playing at home, I think. But there's still so many good players in the draw. Every match is really tough. So I think I'm really happy to play a tournament at home and I'll just enjoy it. Not too many expectations. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
No expectations. Last time you played here, 2018, you were semi-finalist, so you need to go one better because you're a better player right now.
Yeah, well, I'm expected to go two better than that, so... Yeah, we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed.
There's a nice little prize pull up for grabs here too. So it's not like it's just a stroll in the park and it means nothing. This is where you can get some hard earned and make your bank account look better too.
Yeah, no, well, 25's, they're obviously really, still really good for points and money. So, yeah, it's definitely a good tournament to do well. I think everyone here can win it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, but no, it'll be a good week, I think.
What does it do to your psyche and all the Australian tennis players' psyche when you see somebody like Ash Barty make it to the top of the sport, number one ranked, won the French Open, semi-finals at the Australian Open? Does it make that dream feel a bit closer?
I think for sure, but I think Ash Barty she's a bit extraordinary and she always has been, but I think it just shows that... But I don't know, there's not much in it, and I think anyone can win on the day. And I don't know, it's kind of a sport that, yeah, anything can happen on any day, so which is really exciting, I think.
Just some of the other girls named in the main draw. A 15-year-old Perth local, 2019 Newcomb Medal Female Junior Athlete of the Year, Talia Gibson, who received a wildcard entry. Do you know much about her?
I haven't had too much to do with Talia, but I know she's a very good player. I played her, I think I played her once, and it was, yeah, it was a tough match. So I think she'll do well this week, I hope. I think I saw her in the doubles court today, and she was playing really well. So, yeah, no, it's really exciting for her.
And there's competitors from all over the world, France, Korea, Japan, Italy, Russia, USA, and more are going to be represented in this tournament. When do you play? What time tomorrow does the action get underway?
I'm going to kick it off at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So hopefully there'll be a few people there to watch, because there's a lot of good matches on tomorrow. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you for having a brief chat to us about it, and good luck, Maddie.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Madison Inglis and all of the action here at the State Tennis Centre gets underway tomorrow. Come down and watch Madison and some of the top-class young Australians that are aspiring to get better and better and better. And if you'd like to have a look at all of that action, if you go to itftennis.com, you can find out all the details. Special guest Casey Delacqua is hosting a number of activities, fun-filled activities, toddler ball and all of that sort of stuff. We'll be back with more of Sports Day after this. We'll be joined by John Saxon to talk about NRL, how it panned out on the weekend, and what the future is for the sport here in WA. Welcome back to Sports Day. Boost your sales with the Australian-made logo. We are joined by a man that just loves his NRL. He's been campaigning for a team out west for a long time now. His name is John Saxon. He joins us here on Sports Day. Sacco, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good evening, Carl and Hayes. How are you guys? Great to talk to you.
Yeah, we're going really well. Well, the NRL Nines came to town. North Queensland Cowboys too good for St George Illawarra in the final. 24,000-plus fans went along. It was tough conditions on the Friday, though, with 40-degree heat.
Yeah, indeed it was. It really tested the players and also the spectators too, I might add. But having said that, there was still some great football played by both the NRLW teams as well as the NRL clubs. All 16 clubs, of course, participated in the Nines. But look, it was just a fantastic event to have in Perth. And it would have been nicer if the conditions were a little bit cooler on the Friday. But they did get better on the Saturday, of course.
Every time something of this nature happens, there's always a discussion about Perth getting a team in the NRL. Did you get a chance to speak to the power brokers? And from here, do you expect anything to eventuate from those discussions?
Yeah, Hayes, look, that's the big question. Look, to answer your question, Chairman Bobby Cronin and I did spend about 20 minutes with both Commissioner Chairman Peter Volandis as well as the former chairman, Peter Beattie. Yes, we spent about 20 minutes talking about the state of play and basically what we need to do to keep the wheels turning and keeping the dream alive for a franchise here. Look, it was constructive conversation. We have got some direction to go in terms of what the next moves are. And what's really critical here, guys, one thing that's probably overlooked a little bit is the role of the TV networks, the broadcasters here. They're very, very pivotal in our hopes moving forward, and indeed the whole landscape of the NRL competition moving forward. So we've got to regroup. We've got to get a group of personnel together, a delegation to go and meet with the networks in Sydney. That's been the advice given to us, as well as some other influential players in Sydney, and we're going to be making some moves in that direction as early as this week. We're going to start putting a plan together.
Peter Cummins is one man that has come forward with a planned bid for the licence. There was a petition that went around at the NRL Nines. How many numbers were confirmed as part of that petition, and did that make any difference?
Well, that's still gathering steam, Hayes. I do know that there were 20 young ladies from the Fremantle Roosters Rugby League Club who were going around with petitions. I know, having spoken to a few of those people, that they got as many as 500 to 700 each. And that petition is really gathering steam. Saturday and Friday with the Nines was just part of that whole process. But we're also that's sort of continuing with an aim to getting more signatures right all the way through to the May 23 grand final rematch between the Sydney Roosters and the Canberra Raiders. But look, it's fantastic to see people power. There's a lot of passion out there. There's a lot of people out there that are sports fans in this state, in this city, that want to see a franchise back here. And it's just great to see that there's a few people like George Booth, who is the main initiator of that petition. He's doing a wonderful job out there. But guys, look, we continue working. We would have liked to have seen the crowd a little bit bigger for the Nines. But having said that, there was a lot of competition, certainly on the Saturday with the AFLW, 35,000, the Wildcats with 14,000, I believe. Look, we continue fighting, and I think everyone that came to the Nines had a thoroughly enjoyable time. I think it's a great product, and I would have loved to have had it back here next year, but I do believe that the NRL is making a decision between Canberra and Newcastle for 2021.
This is probably hard for you to answer given your position, but we had a caller last night suggest that we should stop attracting NRL events over here in the West because it means that the NRL and the ARL are still getting a piece of the pie here, and maybe that's enough for them.
Taking all our money.
Yeah, guys, look, I can understand that that sort of emotion and that sort of rationale, but certainly from my point of view here, you know, and my team of people here, our job is to continue developing the game here, particularly at a grassroots level. And you know, it's we do welcome having elite rugby league come to town, be it the Nines or be it the Telstra Premiership games, or certainly obviously State of Origin, as we saw last year, because that gives us the opportunity to, you know, to feed the appetite of rugby league fans and broader rugby league fans here. Broader sporting fans, but also to get those clubs to engage with school kids, junior clubs, you know, that the value of you know, the inspirational power of these players, the star power of these players to connect with kids and hopefully you know, help win hearts and minds for kids and parents to engage with rugby league here in Perth. So it is important to us, but I do understand that. That rationale.
Good on you, John. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, guys. All the best.
Good on you, John Saxon there. Thanks to Dometic, Mobile Living Made Easy. We're looking for Australia's coolest sporting team, whether it's a goal celebration or a skillful training drill. We want to see your club's coolest tricks. You head to iCanWin.com.au to enter. Have ice cold drinks wherever you are with the Dometic Cool Ice Box. And that is the end of our show. Great to have your company. After the 8 o'clock news, it's coming up next. It'll be Chris Ilsley with Perth.